The good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that that doesn't count in my time in the sermon this morning, so. C.S. Lewis was once giving a lecture, and at the end of the lecture, there was a question and answer time, and he was asked a question. Somebody asked him, they wanted to know which of the world's religions gives its followers the greatest happiness. You know, happiness is something that is, well, it's fundamental to all of us. We are, each of us, driven by a desire to achieve it. Nobody wants to be unhappy. We are motivated by a yearning to be fulfilled, to have meaning, to be happy. I mean, in some ways, it makes sense that our country's foundational documents would emphasize the right to pursue it. But if you're anything like me, your pursuit of happiness doesn't bear the fruit that you thought it would. So, this question that is asked of C.S. Lewis causes me to pause for just a moment and to listen. Upon hearing the question, Lewis stopped to consider for a moment before he finally answered, "While it lasts, the religion of worshiping oneself is best." His answer kind of makes me stop and wonder to what extent I have chosen the worship of myself in this pursuit of happiness. It doesn't take tremendous observational skills to recognize that our culture has kind of settled on that religion. We don't call it self-worship, obviously. We call it autonomy. Maybe we use the word freedom. The word autonomy is an interesting one. It's a word that literally means self-law, to be a law unto oneself. The freedom to define our own right and wrong, the freedom to live without someone or something else defining who I am or what I need to be. Autonomy means living without external limitations or constraints. It strikes me that our country and our economy, our politics, our relationships, our families, they're all kind of driven by this pursuit of happiness, oftentimes through autonomy. This morning's psalm actually asks a similar question to the one that C.S. Lewis was asked. What does it take to be happy? That's how the psalm begins. Happy is the one who. What we're going to discover this morning, though, is that happiness isn't something to be pursued. And it isn't something that is found in our ability to be a law unto ourselves. As a matter of fact, the first psalm, this first psalm which we just had sung to us, serves as a kind of introduction to the rest of the book. It tells us something that runs contrary to everything that our culture has ever taught us about happiness and autonomy and their relationship to one another. Happy is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. The happy person is not the one who is autonomous, a law unto himself or herself, but who delights in the law of the Lord. According to this psalm, happy people delight in God's instruction. The happy person is always open to God's instruction. Now, if you're anything like me, you're a little skeptical at the moment. I mean, meditating on the law of the Lord day and night doesn't sound like any kind of happiness to me. As a matter of fact, it sounds an awful lot like a punishment that I would have received in Sunday school when I was a little kid when I didn't behave the way that I should have, if I ever didn't behave the way that I should have. It doesn't sound like happiness. This is especially true because in Christian circles, we don't always have a very good relationship with the word law. We often associate it with a legalistic set of rules as something to be avoided. But the word Torah, which many of you have probably heard, the word Torah that is translated as law here literally means instruction, specifically God's instruction. God provides guidance and instruction for the ways that we should live, for a life that will fulfill us and bring us happiness. But the scoffers, well, they arrogantly refuse it. They don't need it. They are a law unto themselves. If I'm honest, I have been enculturated enough to know that meditating on God's word doesn't sound like happiness, but getting to do my own thing whenever I want, that sounds a little closer to happiness. I think the psalmist understands how difficult this is for us to understand. And so the psalmist does what every good preacher does. The psalmist provides for us an illustration. The autonomous person, the scoffer, is compared to the husk of a piece of wheat that is blown away by the wind. We might think of a tumbleweed. But stop for a minute and think. Think of the freedom of the tumbleweed. It gets to wander all over the countryside, seeing everything its heart could possibly want. It gets to pursue happiness because it can go wherever it wants. It gets to experience the land, the mountains, the wild animals. Because it is rooted to nothing, it has no confines, it has no limitations. It is free to go wherever it desires in pursuit of its own happiness. Sounds great, doesn't it? This is the life of those who get to pursue happiness in the next fad diet. Because happiness is found in a tight beach body. Y'all just have to take my word for that. This is also the life of those who get to pursue happiness in the next drink or the next sexual experience because, well, happiness is found in the experience of pleasure. This is the life of those who get to pursue happiness by amassing enough wealth to live without encumbrances, without limitations, without handicaps. Such autonomy sounds great, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to be free to pursue happiness in such a way? This is the life of those who scoff at God's instruction and who say, "No, I can do this. I've got this. I know what I need, and I will pursue it." The scoffers are free to pursue pleasure wherever it might be. They are free to chase after the next fad, the next whim, pursuing happiness. But what they fail to tell you is that as a scoffer, happiness is always pursued, but never found. It turns out that the tumbleweed has no freedom about where it gets to go. The tumbleweed goes where it is blown. And when the next attempt at happiness doesn't work, the wind will pick it up and blow it on to the next thing. According to this psalm, the first psalm, the introduction to the entire book of the Psalms, such autonomy, such rootlessness does not lead to happiness, but to death. So where is happiness found? Well, the opposite of autonomy, the opposite of being a law unto yourself, is delighting in God's law. The person who delights in God's instruction is like a tree planted beside a running stream. They don't pursue happiness. They don't chase it down. They don't try to run across the country looking for it, hoping that the next breeze will take them to the destination for which they long. The person who delights in God's law, who delights in God's instruction, digs down deep into the soil next to the very source of life. This person is happy. That elusive thing, the pursuit of which drives so much of our behavior and so many of our decisions. Turns out, it isn't something to be pursued at all. It's not something to chase down. Happiness isn't found by casting off our constraints and becoming a law unto ourselves. Happiness is found in identifying the right constraints, the right law to confine us. In 2003, Disney Pixar made a movie that many of you have probably seen, Finding Nemo. It's the story of a fish named Nemo, interestingly, who is taken off the reef and he's forced to live in a tank. In order to get back to his father and back to the reef, back to the ocean, Nemo gets himself flushed down the toilet because, as he is told, all drains lead to the ocean. It's a cute story. But in 2003, it led to a rash of fish flushings. See, little kids, they saw this movie. And then they turned and they saw their fish in the tank. They thought, this isn't good. I must set my fish free. Right? These were the Moseses of the fish world. So they flushed their fish. Turns out the confines of the fishbowl are crucial for the vitality and survival of the fish. Fish don't survive all that well in a sewer. We live in a culture that wants to tell us that happiness can only be found when everything is possible, when all the choices are before us, when we can be a law unto ourselves and we can make whatever choice we want, when we are free to live without constraints. According to such logic, the best way for your goldfish to be free is for you to crush the tank. But without the confines of that tank, without the confines of that bowl, too many of us have bought the lie that our happiness can only be found if we throw off our constraints and we go and we pursue it. But happiness isn't found in autonomy. It's found in God's instruction. Happiness isn't found when everything is possible. Happiness isn't found when we discover that we can make any choice that we want. Happiness is found when we discover the confines, the right confines, the ones that give us life, the right law. By all the measurable standards of our culture, the tumbleweed has a greater chance at happiness than does the tree. The tree's roots are the very thing that make life and happiness possible because they have dug deep into the ground that is fed by the life-giving water of God's instruction. But our culture would have us believe that those roots are the very thing that keep the tree from finding happiness. A life lived where we are a law unto ourselves, a life where we heed only our own instruction, such a life does not lead to happiness, but to death. Happy is the one who delights in God's instruction. The psalmist reminds us that happiness does not come from autonomy. It doesn't come from being able to make whatever choice we want. It doesn't come from self-law, but from God's instruction. And those who delight in God's instruction will find a happiness that isn't fleeting, that you don't have to leave behind in pursuit of the next one, that isn't dependent on our ability to pursue it. They will find a happiness that is the result of a life that is the natural result of being nourished by the Word of God. Friends, many of you come here on a regular basis. Many of you come here every week to be nourished by the Word of God, to be with one another, and to dig down deep together. And that's a good thing. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Do you only need water one day a week? Find time to do it as often as you can. In the quietness of your own home, in your study, in your bedroom. Find some friends who are also interested and set your roots next to the river with them together. Set a time to read God's Word together as a family, with your spouse and your children. And watch the life that is available and experience the happiness that is only possible through that life. Happy is the one who delights in God's instruction. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.